Marion was teaching Sunday school at Clinchfield Baptist this morning. She'll be teaching next Sunday, and then Jim will be teaching the next two Sundays. And then I get to wrap it up on November 9th, I believe. It's a six-week Bible study about Israel. And there's some hungry folks there. Guys, don't forget, 6:15, Crazy Love, led by Mike Preckel, men's Bible study today. Also, intercessory prayer. Is it 4:30? 4:30 to 6 today. Everybody say next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
And next Saturday night as well.
Next Saturday.
As well. Jonathan Sattel is going to be here. It's going to be awesome. He is from Israel. He is a world-renowned singer and teacher. And I look to see a full house next Sunday. And y'all don't miss it. You invite everybody. We're going to probably bring out the other blue chairs next Sunday. So, Jace, did we receive love offering this morning? We received the tithing offering this morning? Good. Awesome. I just want to make sure I hadn't missed anything. Any announcements, honey? Is there any announcements I'm missing? And just remember Saturday night and Sunday. We might have some refreshments Saturday night if anybody wants to bring like some cookies or something just for the kids or something back in the back. But we're not going to have a time of fellowship and eating Saturday night. We're going to give Jonathan as much time as we can. So Father, I just ask that. We just thank you for your sweet presence, and I just ask that everything that I say would come straight from you and proceed from the throne this morning. Let not anything I say be of me. If I do, just let it fall on deaf ears and fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. And it was wonderful to come into a worship environment this morning. The secret of a great sermon, I heard someone said this, is to have a very good beginning, a very good ending, and keep those two just as close together as possible. Did you get that, Mr. Tommy? Good ending, a good beginning, and keep them close. That's the definition of a good sermon, all right? So I'm going to start out, I'm going to read a couple things. A letter was sent to the IRS. It stated, "Dear Sir, last year when I filed my income tax, I deliberately misrepresented my income. Now I'm having trouble sleeping, so enclosed is a check for $150 in taxes. If I still can't sleep, I'll gladly send you the rest." Here's a couple things that when men say this, they really mean this, okay? When a man says, "Honey, you look terrific," that really means, "Oh Lord, please don't try on one more outfit, I'm starving." When a man says, I help around the house," that really means, "Every once in a while I put a dirty towel in the laundry basket." And I like this one. When a man says, "Son, go ask your mother," that really means, "I'm totally incapable of making that decision." Well, speaking of decisions, I got to marry a couple last night. We've been doing premarital counseling with them for a number of weeks, and Laura McMahon and Matthew Miller. And I told him, I said, my honey and I have been married almost 23 years. And I said, let me tell you the secret of staying together. I said, you know, speaking of decisions, I said, we got an agreement before we got married that I, as the head of the home, would make all the major decisions. And she can make the minor ones. And I said, I can truthfully say we have never had one major decision that we've ever had to make yet. And that's the secret of being able to stay together for so long. So today's message, if you'd put the first slide up, is just called tough decisions when you find it. I didn't get to get with Diana before, so just any time you can throw it up, it's going to call tough decisions. I just jotted down. Actually, I got up early this morning and added a few names that the Lord gave me to this, of some people that had some tough decisions to make. Some of them were good decisions. Some of them were bad decisions. How about Adam and Eve? I'm going to give you some decisions that were made and some consequences. Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit. They ended up being banned from the Garden of Eden and death. Cain offering up an unacceptable sacrifice. He ended up being reprimanded by God. How about when he killed his brother Abel, and his consequence was being a wanderer? Noah building the ark. Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and not one single convert? But what happened from that? It really saved the world. Even though it was just him and his wife and kids, he was considered righteous. How about Abraham? He had a decision to make about sacrificing his son Isaac, and he received the promises of God. But how about the decision he made to lay with Hagar, and the consequences? Well, we're still fighting these Islams. You know, thousands of years later, and I'm going to have a talk with him one day about that. How about Moses? He chose God and became the leader of a great nation. What about Mary? She had a decision to make. Angel stands before her, and she says, "Be it unto me according to your word." That was a good decision. How about Judas's decision? Judas had a decision to join the disciples. Good decision. He had a decision on betraying Jesus. Bad decision. Bad decision. Ended up committing suicide. How about Paul, who was killing Christians, but then the light from heaven on the road to Damascus, he ends up being the apostle to the Gentiles and writing a good portion of the New Testament. Hey, I still got my tie on. I'm not used to this. I thought, why am I choking? What was that? You know, we're going to have a talk about that one too. I always thought, Lord, why did you make mosquitoes? I know you've got a reason for everything. She said, Noah didn't swat them two mosquitoes. And then, yeah. How about David? And David made some good decisions. Going and finding some keepers for his sheep and going and fighting the giant. That was a good decision. But how about Bathsheba, where he wasn't where he was supposed to be, first of all. His first sin wasn't lusting after Bathsheba. His first sin was not being out on the battlefield where he was supposed to be. And the sword never left his house, the consequences. Samson, wow. First of all, he went to the wrong place. He went to the Philistine camp. I think it was begins with a T, the name of that city, Timeth or something like that. I didn't write it down, but Samson lusted with his eyes and he ended up losing his sight. He scorned the counsel of others and lost his strength. And I started reading the other day in Proverbs. I started in chapter 12 and went through chapter after chapter. So I just pulled one verse out of each chapter from 12, 13, 14, 15 and on. About counsel, and I thought, wow, I thought of Samson, and I thought of David. Proverbs 12:15. I'm going to go through them fast. 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that listens to counsel is wise. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Chapter 14, verse 7. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. Chapter 15, verse 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. See, there's verse after verse about taking wise counsel and listening. See, Samson was extremely strong physically, but he was spiritually a weakling. He was extremely weak in his spirit, but his body was strong. You know, Samson really had no business going into the enemy's camp and going to Timnath to see the daughters of the Philistine, and it was his downfall. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know, the Bible talks many times about we're in the world, but we're not of the world. There's some decisions that we make that are life-changing decisions. The family that we just prayed for that lost their son, I guess some of you all may have heard about it. Greg Hensley has owned McDowell Tire, and Recap and his family's owned it. And him and Marla have been married, and they have a son. What's his name? Alec? Alec is 18 years old and went to Freedom High School to take the SAT yesterday morning and had a tragic car wreck and went to be with the Lord. They are members at Grace Community just up the street. And you know, every time I'm talking to my mom, she's always like, "Be careful, son. Be careful." You know, that's how we are as parents. We want our kids to make good decisions. We want them to make smart decisions. But you know, we need to lift our family up in prayer. We need to pray for one another. We need to bear each other's burdens. And those decisions that we make in life, I just believe there's some folks here this morning, maybe all of us, that are a fork in the road, and there's a decision to go to the left or go to the right. And if you listen to the Lord, he'll tell you, he'll open the eyes of your heart, he'll open your ears to what the plan is for your destiny. I'm going to read another verse in 2 Chronicles 6:17. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate from the world, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And we could stay with Samson and David and a lot of these men all day and tell you about decisions and the consequences, but what I really wanted to focus the message on this morning is on about a couple of women, and it's in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, I was going to just read through it, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to, most of you all know it, so I just did a summary, and I'm just going to read it because I think most of you know the story. But the book of Ruth contains an interesting story about a Moabite woman who's redeemed into a Hebrew family. Now, there's a famine in Israel, so the Hebrew family moves to Moab. Now, this Moab is not far from Israel. It's east of the Dead Sea. But the Moabs were typically enemies. Thanks, Chase. Were typically enemies of Israel. They were not allies for any means. But this family was in the city of, they were in Bethlehem, and Elimelech and his wife Naomi, they have two sons. The sons are Mahlon and Chilion. And each of the sons, when they moved to Moab, each of the sons marry a woman from the country. So they marry Moabite women. This is Naomi and Elimelech's kids. It doesn't say how they died, and it doesn't say, it must not have been real important, but all three of the men die in a pretty close proximity. So it's Naomi's husband, and both of her sons are now dead. So now you have three widow women, and there is no Social Security. There is no WIC, There's no food stamps. There's no shelters. I mean, you know, it's a tough time for widow women during that time. So Naomi plans to return to Bethlehem because she has some family there. So she tells her two daughters-in-laws, listen, I'm going to go on back. Y'all stay here. I'm going to go back. And she encourages them. And they both, no, we want to go with you. We want to stay with you. And she says, you know, listen, if I even remarry and I have a couple more sons, by the time they would be old enough to marry, you don't have time to wait on them. So y'all just stay here and I'll go back. So the two women are Ruth and, Oprah. It's Oprah. O-R-P-A-H, not Oprah. Oprah. Maybe that's where I got that from. Orpha. That's the two ladies. Well, Orpha decides to stay, and we never hear from her. But they had a decision to make, and she decided to stay. And Ruth said, and at the wedding yesterday, you know the words you've heard at weddings all the time, entreat me not to leave you. I think I wrote it down here somewhere. Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part us. So Ruth, her decision is, it doesn't matter where you go, I'm going with you. And the book of Ruth is named after her. The other lady goes the other direction. Listen, we have consequences of our decisions that we make. If you would put up the one with the dog, I like this one, because I was thinking about decisions that I make, and sometimes they're good decisions. It says I made 120 decisions today, all of them wrong. How many times have we felt like we're just a train wreck sometimes and not making good decisions? Well, here's a couple ladies, and one makes a decision to go this way, and she's never heard from again. We don't know what happened to her. But Ruth, wow, good decision, Ruth. So they return to Bethlehem together, and Naomi's financially and despondent, but her families accept her in with joy. You know, so they have no money. So Ruth goes out into the fields to gather some grain, to glean, I think they call it. And there's a landowner named Boaz. You all heard of Boaz? Well, Boaz just happens to notice Ruth and ask the workers to kind of be kind to her, kind of leave her some plenty of grain out there in the fields for her to get. And he didn't know at the time who Ruth was, it says, but out of kindness he chose to care for her as a stranger in the land. And Ruth returned to Naomi and told her about the generous landowner. So Naomi asks about the man and was pleased to learn that it was Boaz. Boaz was a near family member of Elimelech. He wasn't the closest one, but he was a near one. Now, when the widow died, the closest of kin was to take after her if they wanted to. So Boaz sort of had to get permission. But it actually says that Ruth kind of got down on one knee and asked him to marry her. You know, I guess they could do that back then. She asks him to be her kinsman redeemer, which is what Jesus is for us. He's our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us. You know, the word grace, I've said before, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's redemption at Christ's expense. He was our redeemer. So that's what she's asking. And so Boaz goes and talks to the other guy, and he gives him his blessing. And since he was closer, he was responsible for her care. He chose not to exercise his duty, and so Boaz gets the opportunity to buy them out of their debt, so to speak, and to take Ruth as his wife. good decision. Put the one up about God decisions. I like that one. The decisions that we make aren't just to be good decisions. Don't just make good decisions. Make God decisions. You know, the thing that is amazing to me is you look at Ruth, who's a Moabite woman coming into a adopted in to a Hebrew family. And her and Boaz end up getting together, and they have a son. And the son's name is Obed. Obed grows up and gets married, and Obed has a son named Jesse. Well, Jesse gets married and has a son. And guess what his name is? King David. There you go. And then King David has a son, King Solomon. I love the picture that Jim has loaned to the church and put back here of the lineage, the genealogy is the word I was thinking of, the genealogy from Jesus. And if you go back 28 grandmothers from Jesus, you see Rahab, the harlot. Forgiveness. You look at Naomi and the decision that Ruth made to follow her. That is in the lineage. God bless you. That is in the lineage. God bless you again. In the lineage of Jesus. That is just amazing to me. That's amazing to me that the Moabites were not the friends of Israel, but yet he comes from that lineage. Man, he's just looking for a people that'll say yes, Lord. He's no respecter of persons. Thank you. She read my mind. No respecter of persons. He's just looking for someone that'll say, "Be it unto me according to your word." Be it unto me. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, "Yes, Lord." He's just looking for a little ragtag group of folks at his place in little old Marion, North Carolina, that will make the decision and say yes. Put the last slide up, please. There's a lot of ways to go. There's a lot of decisions to be made. Sometimes you feel lost or confused or perplexed or unsure, unclear, maybe bewildered, disoriented. There's a lot of directions to go. And sometimes, like the song that Allie sang, "The Voice of Truth," sometimes we have that's a voice that's speaking, "Man, let's go here. You need to do this." But the still small voice in your Holy Spirit is speaking something else. You got to listen. My sheep know my voice. If you're one of his children, you know what that voice sounds like. You know what the voice of the enemy sounds like. You know what the voice of your father sounds like. I want to just encourage you to make God decisions. Every day we're making major decisions that affect people. Listen, what we put, I don't have a Facebook, but what we put on Facebook can affect thousands in a positive way or in a negative way. Put godly things on your Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or Instagram. I don't know what all that stuff is. I barely answer emails. But the decisions that you make, you know, I pray all the time, "Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil." I pray a lot. "Let me not look to the left or the right. Give me tunnel vision that I can see the path." You know, I preached a message one time about following that green line. Remember the commercials for Fidelity? That they show you the financial green line. If you'll stay on this path, Fidelity will guide you to the goal that you're striving to reach. I said, "Man, that'll preach," because that's what God wants. He's got a destiny for you and for you and for you, for everyone here. He's got a destiny and a call on your life. And he's got a plan for you. And then you said you were going away this week to try to find a direction. Thank you. Y'all are thinking of the words before I can even get them out. That's what I want, the direction that God has for my life. And if we look in the Bible, there are so many examples of people making godly decisions. Sometimes when it didn't look really cool, Marion hates for me to use the Hebrew, the Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't remember their Hebrew names. But they had a decision to make, and they said, we're not going to stand and, or kneel and worship this 90-foot idol. That didn't look very promising for them, but God, and he showed up, and he'll show up for us. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves his children, and he's wanting us to walk that path that he has for us. And it's so important that the decisions we make affect our spouses, they affect our kids, but they're going to affect our grandkids. Look at Boaz and Ruth and how they had Obed and Jesse and King David and King Solomon. And what if Ruth had said, hey, I'm going with Orpha, I'm going to call her Oprah. What if I just went with Oprah and went? Listen, God would have found somebody else. He'd have used somebody else. He said, if you won't praise me, I'll get the rocks to cry out. Well, I don't want a rock getting my blessing today. I don't want anyone else getting my blessing. He said, if you won't use your talents for him, he's going to take them away. So maybe give me, if you quit, maybe I'll learn how to play drums. Who knows? He'll take those talents and those giftings and that anointing and give it to someone else. And as I spoke a couple weeks ago of chapter 2 of our crazy love, how important it is, our little half a second here on earth. Remember I said our life is between Acts and Revelations. And that movie that we're in is just a second of time. The Bible says it's as a vapor and it quickly vanishes away. And what are we doing with our vapor? The decisions that we make daily. It has been so crazy the last couple months in my life, doing 60 hours every week at work and other things going on with weddings and conferences that we're getting ready for. It seemed like it's just been a whirlwind. And it's easy when you get frustrated and you get bewildered and perplexed and lost and confused. It's easy to make rash decisions or quick decisions, which leads to wrong decisions. And I know I've been short this morning, and it was on purpose. But I want you to really spend some time this week and ask God what your purpose is. I've been praying this week, Pat, about Women's Glow. I've thought about it every day this week at work. I've got just a note, a notepad that I've wrote reminders on. Because I want to know that with everything that I've got going on, is that something that is that a decision? What if I'm not supposed to be there and I have a car wreck on the way? Or say I made a decision to do something and it wasn't God's plan. I want to be sure that I'm in the center of His will and that I'm obeying Him. So I just want you to. We're just going to pray. I just want if Russell just put on some music, and I just want us to pray and just ask the Lord to just let it be a shout into our spirit this week of the decisions that are facing us. decisions at home, major decisions, minor decisions, whatever, whatever it is, decisions that affect our future. Thank you. That will affect not just our lives, but our kids' lives, our grandkids' lives, our great-grandkids' lives, if we're still here by then. But I'm telling you, it's getting late in the day. A judge in Charlotte picked up a pen Friday and legalized gay marriage for the entire state of North Carolina. That's a bad decision for that judge. That is one of those Judas decisions that it is gonna haunt him or her for all eternity if they don't get right. There's decisions that are being made that by other people that affect our lives, and the decisions that we make that affect other people's lives. So I hope that you can take something home with you today about decisions that are coming up in your lives daily, and how we can bless others, and how we can shine as a lighthouse on a hill to a lost and dying world, whether it be on Facebook, or whether it be by email, or whether it be by message, or whether it just be by us speaking to our friends or to our loved ones. So Father, as we close in prayer, I just ask your Holy Spirit to just open the eyes of our hearts, and to let it just be a shout into our ear which way to go, what to do, that we would be led by your Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't walk in the flesh, but we would walk in your Spirit. Father, I just bless each one here. You've placed such an incredible group of anointed, gifted, talented men, women, and children. And Father, we just bless each one here. We just call forth their destiny in Christ Jesus, that each one would hear your still small voice and know the decisions to be made, and that they would be God decisions and not man decisions. Give us the courage to make the decisions. Give us the wisdom to know which way to go, Father. Lord, I just bless the children. I just bless Cole and Kimora and Emily and Zach and Zachariah and Bella and Jalen and all the children that are assembled here, Father. And we pray that the decisions that we make as parents would put a smile on your face, and that these parents would train up these children in the way that they should go, that when they're old that they would not depart from it, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that when we have made wrong decisions, and yes, there have been some consequences, that your forgiveness is so awesome. That you allow U-turns, and you allow us to go back and start fresh. We thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Does anybody have anything that you'd like to add? Or Okay, please, if you wouldn't mind speaking.
Friday, I was at work. I work in Asheville at the courthouse, and one of the lawyers said that they were lined up at the Register of Deeds waiting to get married. And when I got to work, the county building beside the courthouse had a huge pride flag on it, and I didn't really pay much attention to it, but it got me curious. And I was kind of stirred up, so I decided to start reading online Friday night, and I learned that actually the judge that he basically overturned the ban on gay marriages is actually my boss's brother, and he's a judge out of Asheville, and his family, well-respected family, the Cogburns, my boss professes to be a Christian, and when I read deeper into the case, and this is just, people who call themselves clergy members of different various religious, you know, they say they're churches, but like Unitarian type churches, they actually are the ones that presented this case in court as a religious freedom issue. So it was actually decided on the basis of, they said, as clergy members of these other, what they called churches, they should have the religious freedom to marry gay couples. And the attorney general had just dropped the case because they had gone as far as they were going to go. But I do believe that these people involved, you know, who make the decisions are, you know, a part of the Democratic Party. But it was decided on the issue of religious freedom. So we need to be praying.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You know, at the wedding yesterday, they had a couple girls that were lesbian, and they came from Asheville together, and they were holding hands as they came in, and one of them, her hair was like red, like the flag, and the other one was blue. It's kind of funny. But they came in, and you know, they're such sweet girls. I went up and hugged them, and during the reception, and told them I loved them, praying for them. But during the ceremony, I had quite a few places in there where I said, marriage is ordained by God, and it's governed in His Word. And it's between one man and one woman. And there were a lot of kind of uptown folks there, and there's a lot of people that want to be politically correct. I had a decision to make. Am I going to keep this part in, or am I going to just skip that part, you know? Actually, I said that part, and then a little while later, I didn't have it in my notes, but I added it again. I wanted it to be known where we stand. Marriage is ordained by God. It's governed by His Word. And it's between one man and one woman. And it's like that for a reason. You know, Solomon had 700 wives. Drove him crazy because he had 700 mother-in-laws. You know? Yeah. You better watch it, brother. You know, I heard just recently about this week, about a woman who filed for marriage to marry herself. She got a marriage license in some state, like Massachusetts, somewhere up north, to marry herself. I mean, it is getting late in the church age, you know, and we need to be ready. We need to be sure our kids are ready and our loved ones are ready. Anybody else before we go? Let's stand. I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. I prayed over the couple yesterday. Yes, we do. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and fill you with His peace today and forevermore. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Caught a glimpse of your splendor in the corner of my eye, the most beautiful.